At 7:43 on this West Virginia morning, I'm Teresa Wills. Coal companies are putting cleanup work on hold with a regulatory loophole called idling. And companies belonging to West Virginia Governor Jim Justice's family have the most idled mines in the country.
They're not actively employing people or actively working the site. They shouldn't be forced to do their reclamation work instead of just leaving, well, raped out mountains.
We'll have that story from the Ohio Valley Resource just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. Across central Appalachia, more than 200 coal mines set idle and have not produced coal for years. Those idled mines occupy a gray area in the regulations on coal mine cleanup and reclamation. The Ohio Valley Resource partnered with the Center for Public Integrity to learn more about how mine operators use a regulatory loophole. A data analysis shows the mining companies operated by the family of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice used idling more than any other coal operator in the country. In the first of two reports, Brittany Patterson visited one such mine to see the effects on the neighboring community.
I'm standing at the top of Black Mountain, the tallest point in Kentucky, with Matt Hepler, an environmental scientist with the advocacy group Appalachian Voices. From an overlook, one side is Kentucky, the other Virginia. The lush green Appalachian Mountains stretch on for miles around. But in front of us, a sprawling, barren dirt pile dominates the view.
So we are currently looking at Looney Ridge Surface Mine Number 1.
Hepler is closely acquainted with the towering high wall of this mine, operated by A&G Coal, a coal company run by the family of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice.
It's looked like this for as long as I've been coming up here.
Coal has not been produced here since at least 2013, when A&G Coal asked Virginia regulators to place the mine in temporary cessation. Temporary cessation is a permit status that allows mining to pause. It gives mining companies flexibility when coal prices are low, and it's supposed to be temporary. But an analysis by the Center for Public Integrity finds more than 200 mines are idled across the region. About half have been that way for three or more years. In central Appalachia, Justice coal companies are the top users of mine idling. 33 mines and a coal preparation plant owned by the Justice family's companies were idled as of mid-August. 15 have been in that status for at least 3 years, according to CPI's analysis. That number doesn't include the Looney Ridge mine or others nearby in Virginia, where coal also hasn't been mined for years. That's because in early 2014, state mining regulators entered into a compliance agreement with the justices to force them to reclaim the site. Tara Kesterson is a spokesperson with the Virginia Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy.
We are doing everything within our enforcement authority to ensure that this gets done.
Hepler with Appalachian Voices is skeptical. The agency has amended the agreement multiple times. During a recent visit, he points to the same broken-down bulldozer that has been there for years.
They have blown past every single date issued in their compliance agreement. It's just kind of like this moving treadmills of like where they just keep kicking the can down the road.
In a statement, a spokesperson for the justice companies defended its reclamation work and said idling permits is a standard practice across the industry. But in West Virginia, the analysis found one justice mine in McDowell County has been paused for almost a decade. Idle mines, especially those left for years at a time, can have big impacts on nearby communities.
When the mines are become inactive or idle, they starve the local community. They deprive that community of the coal mining jobs and other related jobs.
Joe Pizarczyk was head of the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, the federal agency in charge of regulating surface coal mines during the Obama administration. When mines enter temporary cessation, employment plummets. CPI's analysis found coal operations that had been idled for at least 3 years had 85% fewer full-time employees after switching into idle status than they did a year before.
It also puts that land in a totally non-productive state. It's not making money on anything or anybody for the community.
Andy says it could be a source of pollution. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson on Black Mountain, Virginia.
This story was produced in partnership with the Center for Public Integrity. The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Areas of patchy fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today with highs in the 70s and low 80s. Clear skies tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Sunshine tomorrow with highs in the 70s and low 80s. And sunny on Saturday with highs again in the 70s and low 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Yeager Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at YeagerAirport.com. West Virginia's new Roman Catholic bishop was installed late last month at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Wheeling. Bishop Mark Brennan was previously Auxiliary Bishop of Baltimore. Pope Francis named the 72-year-old Brennan to replace Bishop Michael Bransfield, who resigned in September 2018 amid allegations of sexual and financial misconduct. Glynis Ward spoke with the new bishop. Here's some of that conversation.
Clearly, the former Bishop Michael Bransfield left the diocese in a crisis of confidence. Now, Archbishop Laurie, you know, he described a culture of fear that was created under his tenure, and there were measures that he put in place to try to ensure a higher degree of transparency and safeguards against abuse. What actions do you hope address that eroded trust?
I've long believed the only way to overcome evil is with good. You have to just do good things. So to try to live our faith well, and the works of charity and justice that our faith really propels us to engage in. That's, I think, how you overcome the bad behavior of the past. You know, you can't ignore it, the past. You can't deny that it happened. On the other hand, you also can look forward and try to live a better way. And I hope that I can be the kind of shepherd for the flock of this diocese that will lead by example, you know, not just by words, but to overcome a legacy of mistrust and fear and all that by a different kind of style of leadership.
It seems, are there decisions yet to be made that have anything to do with Michael Bransfield that you have to make? Is
yes, I think as you're probably well aware, the Holy See, or you know, Rome acting as the Pope is the universal pastor of the Catholic Church, imposed on Bishop Bransfield two very significant prohibitions, and they are significant. He was planning to retire here. I've seen the very nice apartment that had been built for him. He's not going to get to live there. He's not allowed by the Pope to live in the state of West Virginia. The second one is that he's not allowed to celebrate any public liturgies. The Catholic Mass is the most common liturgy, but a baptism ceremony, a funeral outside of Mass, a wedding ceremony outside of Mass, those are liturgies too. He's, for someone who has been doing that for nearly 50 years, to be told, you can't do that anymore, that is a very significant prohibition. What I'm asked to do is to oversee a process of him making some kind of amendment for the damage he caused to individuals and to the diocese. And that is in process. And I've been consulting, I've already begun consulting with people here. And then we were doing some analysis of spending and so on to see, what is an appropriate way for to ask him to make amends. If he cooperates with this process, it will show, I think, another side of him, which I hope we will see. If he does not cooperate, we'll still be able to impose kind of amendment process on our own. You know, better with his cooperation, but it can still be done without it.
Okay. And it's increasingly well known that the Wheeling-Charleston Diocese is one of the more wealthy dioceses in the country. And yet, here we are sitting in one of the poorest states and even one of the poorest neighborhoods in this region. So I'm just wondering, how is that wealth being used to combat those cycles of poverty? Or how do you think it could be used in the future?
Well, there are things that I have learned. There are already things that are done by the diocese with the money that it has. Some of which comes from somebody left us some oil wells down in Texas, and we have mineral rights somewhere. I got to find out more about that, At any rate, yes, there's an endowment which seems to be fairly large, several hundred million dollars. Because, wow, that's a lot of money, pay for everything. Well, the diocese, with an endowment, you try not to dip into the principal. Or if you do, you're going to diminish your interest. You use the interest from the principal. And the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston is using that to support small schools and parishes that otherwise would close. They just they can't maintain themselves. I think there are efforts being made by Catholic Charities of West Virginia to assist in meeting the opioid crisis. This is like the epicenter for the whole country, from what I've learned. Wow, this is awful. I'm going to see if we can do more. But I think the resources that the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston has, from what I have learned, remember, I've only been the bishop here for 8 days, so there's a lot more for me to learn, right? But the resources are being used in a healthy way to sustain good works of the church and its schools and parishes and agencies.
We know, Michael Bransfield retired, as many bishops do, at 75. And forgive me if this is an ageist question.
Right.
Some parishioners have expressed concerns, since you're already into your 70s, that you won't be here long enough to sustain positive change. Yeah. Can you address that concern?
Sure. It was intimated to me when I was asked, would I come here, that Rome would be very flexible about that 75 age limit. Now, I could drop dead tomorrow, okay? You don't know. I have to drive to Charleston, maybe a semi hits me and boom, I'm history. So, but assuming that I have reason, my doctor had an appointment on the 30th of July, and he said, Father Brennan, your parents gave you good genes and you're taking pretty good care of them. So I have pretty good health, stamina, and keep going. So assuming that I can, then I think 75 will come and go without any change in the Episcopal leadership here.
That was Bishop Mark Brennan, the new leader of West Virginia's Roman Catholic Church, speaking with Glennis Board in Wheeling. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.